This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury. It is 12:04, coming up to 12:05 on this Wednesday, the 6th of November. I'm in the studio today with...
Jeff Sandu.
I'm Vinny Baraj.
Talking about our favourite subject today, of course. Food.
Food.
It's one of those topics, though, that can either make you feel very hungry or might, in fact, turn your stomach. And I apologise for this at lunchtime. But we're hoping there's going to be more positives come out of this than there are negatives. We're talking about the bizarre rise of fast food fused with snack foods. You might ask, what does that mean? I'm going to give you some more information in a minute about that. And then I'm going to tell you also about our other stories we've got coming up. Now... A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about a list where Singapore was voted the best city in the world for street food, which, of course, caused some controversy because Malaysia didn't even appear in the top 50 on that list. However, we found a list where Malaysia does appear, and so it's a positive piece
of
news.
And Singapore doesn't.
And Singapore doesn't.
There you go.
And it relates to food. Take that. And then wrapping up with how using older adults to benchmark new tech.
Yeah, designing the tech specifically.
I feel targeted here. Arvin, is this part of the whole process?
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
You
said
of course
it.
You didn't.
You
no?
said it.
Yeah. Did you get this idea from Audrey, perhaps?
No.
No?
You know,
none
they
of
say,
us planned it.
You know, there's that famous saying, siapa makan chili, dia rasa pedas,
yeah,
right? So,
yeah.
Who eats the chili feels the spice. So, I don't know why you suddenly feel triggered, Rich, but, you know, then again, it's Arvin's story.
It's Arvin's story.
Yeah. Spicy.
Spicy. It will be spicy by the time we finish, let me tell you that. Right, let's talk about this story. So, our question for today is fast food and snack food fusion is an actual thing. And what Malaysian examples have you seen or would you like to see? Let's have a look at some examples that we've been sent via Twitter this morning already. Jeff, you mentioned that you know of people who love instant cup noodles and they add their Milo powder.
Yeah, so I legitimately know people who do that. This is not one of those like asking for a friend kind of thing. I really know people who actually have done this because it was a trend a while ago where, you know, people started making instant noodles and then they slab a whole like spoonful of Milo powder once the meal is done, and then they kind of mix it up so your instant noodle, curry flavored instant noodle, now has this blackish gravy that looks like chocolate water. And apparently it tasted really good. I don't know, I just can't, because I like my food to look good. So I was just disgusted by the looks of it.
Okay, so, I mean, if we were to look at things logically and take this many, many years back, chocolate originally was consumed in South America alongside chilies. So that kind of makes sense.
And I've tried that and I like it.
Right, right. And I think most of us here in the office have liked it. But then to take that and add instant noodles to it... Right, okay. So I want to read you more about this story before we get into the grossness of some of the other suggestions that we've got. Also, we will be speaking to Chen Ren Yi, the founder of My Burger Lab, later on. Of course, a local Malaysian company who have mashed up some things.
A lot of things.
That, you know... first, you're like, why would you do that? And yet they've gone on to be winners with
it's
it. It's
business.
So, starting a couple of weeks ago, Brits were given a bit of a golden opportunity, or rather a bright orange one. No, Donald Trump didn't visit again. Taco Bell in the UK have introduced its Doritos Locos Taco, a taco with a shell made entirely of one big Dorito. And now this sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does. Right? I like that.
So, tempted, disgusted, whatever your reaction, the reaction... Action was originally launched in the US in 2012. It has a track record of doing rather well. Media outlets hailed the hybrid creation as, quote, one of the most successful fast food innovations of all time, selling a billion units in the first year. So it's no wonder then that more of these snack fast foods are popping up, especially in the US. So last month, Pizza Hut, they rolled out a calzone shaped like a Cheez-It, a square cracker with cheddar flavor. And in August, KFC released a fried chicken sandwich stuffed with Cheetos, puffy cheese-flavored crisps. Many of these items only pop up for a limited time, but they always make high in saturated fat splash, especially on social media. And as evidenced by the success of Doritos Locos Tacos, they move a lot of product. You know, but how do we get to this place where there's a mashup between fast food favorites and vending machine staples, you know? Mm. Is America's fast food craze culture to blame? So the fast food snack food hybrid that started it all in 2012, Taco Bell's Doritos Tacos shell, just debuted in the UK, of course. Many of the brands and products involved in these campaigns are American, but experts caution associating that trend with the US exclusively. These fast food snack food mashups can be found around the world. There's a whole bunch of them. If you look at the ones over in, they have a whole bunch in Japan as well. Mm-hmm. Some of the oddly flavored Kit Kats kind of to mind. There's the processed food, of course, has been around for a while. But then they talk about Pizza Hut in Australia. They made pizza crusts from Doritos in 2014. Mm. Nutella was used in a dessert burger in McDonald's in Italy last month.
We use Nutella for roti canai.
Correct.
And naan.
And naan, yeah.
McDonald's in the UK introduced Galaxy Salted Caramel McFlurry, using a well-known chocolate brand, of course.
It sounds delicious.
Now, if you didn't already try it, KFC introduced a fried chicken sandwich that's stuffed with Cheetos. Yeah. Burger King, deep-fried sticks of macaroni and cheese.
Delicious.
Delicious?
Yeah, sounds not delicious.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay.
Right, okay. Well, as you can see, this is a worldwide thing.
There's a picture of a KFC Double Down Dog from the Philippines. So it's a hot dog in between two pieces of chicken, and that looks delicious. Because that should work. Because it's you've got sausage chicken, and then you've got chicken from KFC. So, I don't know, maybe they know who their target market is, but some of these things work. Have you guys ever wondered, like, who comes up with these ideas? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, who comes up with, you know, who needs to mash, like, thing A and thing B and come up with, like, a product? Like, because there is a person with that specific job. It's an actual science. Because, Fast Company, they did a profile on Dina, and I'm going to butcher her last name, Von Versowitz. She works at PepsiCo, which owns Frito-Lay. And Frito-Lay owns Doritos, Fritos, Cheetos, all the toes. She finds out, and she puts these things together and tries to find out, like, what will be the next viral food sensation. So that is her job. Stuff like the KFC chicken Cheetos, that was her idea. This thing with Taco Bell, with the Doritos shell, that is also her idea. So it's a legit big business that someone is tasked with. Like, that is her full-time job, to have a team of people to test these things and see which will sell the most with consumers.
Well, the Double Down, the KFC Double Down, when that was launched, actually drove traffic to the KFC website up by 29%.
Yeah.
Which is a huge amount of traffic to go through your website after just a launch of a product that you look at, and at first you're like, "What? I'd like to try that." And Richard did try that. When Richard Richard did not like it. Although Richard wanted to like it, you know, I walked away thinking, I should not have done that. I should not have done that. I mean, as delicious as the idea seems to be, the teenager in me is long dead, you know, and I think the kind of middle age 40-something person was like, even back
in
your...
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What am I doing in my life?
Exactly. And I think that was part of it. And now, it's funny you should talk about, you know, the person that goes on to create it. Because what they talk about is that this kind of mashup craze, arguably, is about a race to the bottom. Who can create the most, not grotesque, but strangely compelling food stuff, and people will still go on to eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we've seen some stuff here. You guys and the whole petai thing, you know, for me.
Petai burgers?
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that, you know, it's meant to be mashed up with almost every single Malaysian food.
But do you see why I did that? The two of you then immediately, boom.
Trigger,
exactly. So, I mean, there's part of that process of it as well is to create an emotional response to what it is that you're seeing and what you're tasting. There's nostalgia thrown in there. There's all kinds of stuff.
Most of the time, it's just shock value.
And shock value,
yeah.
We're going to take a short break, though, while you guys munch on this idea about what are some of the craziest mashups that you've seen or would you like to see here in Malaysia. We're going to be speaking to Chen Ren Yi in a few minutes from My Burger Lab whilst we think about this. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Bob Dylan up next with She Belongs to Me here on BFM 89.9.
Behind Famous Men. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites today, ladies and gents. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sundu.
I'm in your branch.
Our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
We are talking to you guys about some of the strangest mashups of what we are talking about. It's fast food snack and snack food fusion is an actual thing. What Malaysian examples have you seen or would you like to see? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Just quickly over on Insta Story, I've got one there from Jin Rong, who says, Lakor McFlurry. Yes or no?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
No, I, no.
No?
No, no, no. But I think they're too far apart.
Uh-huh.
You got to find something to bridge them. So you got to maybe have a third ingredient to make it work.
Petai.
Will you stop no, with the petai?
No, petai. Like, you know, it's too far in already, right?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Interesting.
Let's go over to Twitter where we've got some strange examples.
Interesting examples.
Yes.
Yeah. Simwi Boon, who we know, said, I crush super rings on my instant mac and cheese before baking them in an oven. I highly recommend that people do it. See, I would, yeah.
I would try that.
I would do it.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't sound like so strange, right? Because, you know, instant mac and cheese, all right. You know, you want to give it a little bit more of a kick.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, maybe super rings if you crush them
maybe,
up.
Maybe super rings.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
nostalgia.
I think you have to be in a certain frame of mind.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, yeah, exactly. I want to know how did Sim actually kind of get to that, you know, conclusion, getting this idea. Was it like, you know, his own invention that crushing super, because this is very Malaysian though, like, you know, using super rings, right? And then mac and cheese. Was this like his own, you know, adventure in one night where he saw he only had super rings and he only had instant mac and cheese and he just sat there and go like,
this is before Grab Food.
This is gonna work.
Yeah.
This is gonna work. You know, if you don't know who Sim Wee Boon is, he's our morning run producer, but he's also the guy in our takeaway promo video that we were promoting, you know, BFM's takeaway that happened recently. And he was the guy who matched up nasi lemak and boba.
So he's a genius.
So, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. Sorry, Sim, but, you know. Super rings and mac and cheese, that's genius.
Yeah, someone's going to steal
that. Nasi
lemak
and boba,
maybe not.
Well, what else have we got?
Wan Ahmad says, muruku flavored spread on toast or cendol flavored spread on toast? Muruku flavored spread.
No.
No.
No. I don't.
Really? Something's... it needs to, you need the crunch, I think.
The toast gives you the crunch.
No. Exactly. Like it's you're toasting it, and then when you bite, you get that muruku flavor. But yet it's. I'll take a look. Wan Ahmad, please do it. I'll buy it.
Here's an idea.
But then when muruku gets soft, is that not when you throw it away? You know, if it gets soft, you're not going to like that texture, surely.
Well, when it gets soft, Wan Ahmad's turning it into spread for toast. So, you know.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah. Eco.
Okay. Do keep them coming in, folks. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to tweet us your most... Sorry, if you want to WhatsApp us your most fabulous mashups. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We did manage to speak to Chen Ren Yi, the founder of My Burger Lab. Now, if, like us here in the studio, you're a fan of some of the creations that they have made, you guys, I know, are a big fan of one of their creations in particular.
Again, the petai burger.
Yeah.
Sting bomb. So, you know, it always comes in December. So.
Yeah. So that one's it's coming up soon. I'm getting excited here in the studio. And of course, the other one that they do is the Elvis burger, which is...
peanut butter and jelly in a burger.
That's right. Now, that for me is delicious. But we thought we'd ask them a bunch of questions. So the first question we ask is, when it comes to your fast food and snack food hybrids, you've had a lot of success. What is one flavor combination you tried that failed?
I think the most memorable big failure that we had would probably be one where we were using the fermented durian with fried chicken. That was just impossible to get it right.
Now, notice the silence there.
Fermented durian, tempoya, and fried chicken.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that doesn't seem like Sim Wei Boon's idea, right? Where there's almost like you can see how that might work together.
The method to the madness.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. But when you've got tempoya and you've got fried chicken together, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Not sure yet.
Yet.
You know what, though? There are people out there right now that are going,
oh.
Mm.
But then, how do you figure out what elements of one food can be used with another?
I subscribe to this philosophy of anchor and twist. So instead of, you know, reinventing the nasi lemak, the question is, how can you repurpose the idea of nasi lemak? So say, for example, how do you put kacang in a burger? We use peanut butter instead. Then the next thing is rice. We took the santan flavor. So instead of channeling the santan flavor through rice, we use rendang instead. And that brought out the coconut tea flavor that you will find in a nasi lemak. So when you combine all that together with a good fried chicken, with a bit of sambal, with a fried egg done perfectly, with a yolky center, it all just comes together very well.
It does come together very well, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Deliciously so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I need to move on while I'm salivating right here. So, okay then, why do you think then that this phenomenon of hybrid foods has, you know, taken off so well and so much?
So, of course, you know, being a Malaysian, we are so used to being around food and recipes from all different races. And that in itself allows us to draw inspiration from one another. So taking other snack food items and integrating it into a recipe that has been around for a long time wouldn't shock us too much. I think in Malaysia, we are generally quite adventurous people.
Right, okay. I just want to touch on something there before we move on, because I know we've got some messages. The idea of rojak, right?
Yeah.
Of course, Malaysian culture itself is...
Which I love, yeah.
It's a fusion, yeah.
But... the idea of taking fruit
and
then sprinkling it with spicy shrimp, sambal,
and peanut sauce.
Mm. When I first encountered that and I walked past it, I'm like, what on earth are you people doing? And then I put it in my mouth. And then I'm like, now I understand
your
what
life
you
changed
people
forever.
Are doing. Yeah. So that frame of mind sometimes when you think that's never going to work with that and that's never going to work with that, sometimes comes up with something that surprises you so much, you know, from somebody who comes from a background where our palate is meat and potatoes, that it's like, you're like, wow, this is fantastic.
This works. Yeah.
I think, you know, sorry, but like, I think he makes good sense in that the fusion has to work. There's some formula needs to be done, right? So it has to have an anchor and then the surprise element. Like, you can't just do two surprises in that sense, right? Because then, you know, that fusion doesn't work. But, you know, in rojak, for example, the anchor is really the you know, bunch of fruits, right? I feel like, because you can really put literally any fruit, because you've got, like, you know, either the sweet mangoes or the sour mangoes, and then you've got the sengkuangs, you've got pineapples, you've got the jambus, you've got literally any fruit that you want to, you can just put them in. And then the surprise twist is that, you know, the peanut sauce, the shrimp paste, and then the chili to give you that Malaysian kick, you know.
So this is the fruit rojak.
Yes,
I was talking about the mamak rojak.
No, the fruit one.
Oh,
but even the mamak rojak itself, right? Like, you know, it's so you've got either the mee and then you've got the tofu and you've got the egg and salt. So you put it all, and then it just kind of feels like, oh, you know, like what's gonna hook this all up? It's that, you know, that anchor, which is the sauce, right? That sauce is that anchor that holds all of the together. Like, it's so, I guess, you know, they've kind of nailed down that formula. You need to have an anchor. And then the surprise elements.
Some glue to just join everything together. And also, I think from quote-unquote business science point of view, they know when they do things like this, and I'm not sure about Burger Lab, but other companies that do this, they have, the consumers have to overlap in some way.
Right.
You know, people who, using data alone, like, you know, people who have fast food will also consume maybe this kind of chip. Or people who go to Taco Bell also love serve Doritos. So they're like, you know, it's a shell made of a chip, so why not make the shell out of Doritos and sell it to that consumer base and slightly expand? Maybe there's a segment that has only Doritos and then there's a segment that doesn't go to Taco Bell. If you put one in the other, you'll sort of like market to both segments and then you sort of double up on your consumer base.
I have a theory.
Mm.
Student areas and places like California. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Time for a break. Music coming up from one of the potentially greatest rock bands of the 1980s. It is Van Halen with Panama up next. When we come back, we'll be talking about some of the best cities for entrepreneurs 2019. We're on a list, ladies and gents. Yay! You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.